Welcome to the Professional Fitness Coaching Academy Insight Series, Advanced Module 3, Strength and Power Development. Module Overview. Strength and power training causes adaptive changes on various systems within the body and ultimately leads to improved mechanical muscle function, which in turn results in improved functional performance across sports and various activities of day-to-day life. Advanced Module 3.4, Explosive Strength.
In the previous module, we looked at the most effective methods for developing maximum strength, both in absolute and relative terms. In this module, we'll explore how to develop effective programs to develop explosive strength and reactive strength. So on completion of this module, you'll achieve the following learning outcomes. You're going to be able to describe what explosive strength is and what reactive strength is, and you'll be able to discuss the differences between the two training methodologies. You'll understand the role of explosive strength and reactive strength in the development of an integrated performance conditioning program. You'll understand the key design variables and cornerstones that will allow you to develop explosive strength programs and reactive strength programs for your clients. Let's take some time to explore explosive strength in a little bit more detail. So, explosive strength is the maximum amount of force that can be produced in a short amount of time. And it's reliant on the ability of the neuromuscular system to generate very steep increases in force within a split second. Heavy resistance training can be used to improve explosive strength or power, and we can see that can improve it by anywhere from 20 to 50%. Something that researchers have shown that low resistance training just can't do. So going back to some of those earlier modules where we looked at conditioning, which uses higher repetitions with low weights, if ultimately the goal of your client is to get strong and powerful, you can see now it's not going to work. Research shows that low-level training won't improve strength and power. Okay, for that, you need to train specifically. For that, you need heavy resistance. Why do so many people shy away from it? Well, we've looked at it before about some of these popular misconceptions about lifting heavy loads and becoming a muscle-bound freak. So some of those preconceived ideas still sit very strongly in the minds of your clients. Now, we know that that simply isn't true. And in fact, when you're training at the lower end of the repetition range with heavier loads, as is the case with explosive power, you know, many of the adaptations that your clients are going to experience are not structural. They are neuromuscular adaptations. So you're not going to change body shape particularly. The silhouette, the way they look is going to remain the same. It's just the ability to generate that force quickly is what's going to be developed. So, you know, even people like endurance athletes will benefit from explosive strength. You know, you've only got to look at the events like the Tour de France or the marathon the London Marathon to see this in evidence. You know, for most of the race, everyone ticks along at a steady pace. You know, it's a decent pace, but it's steady. And then at a critical moment, when they want to create a breakaway or when they want to make the last sprint, what do? They have to tap into some of that explosive strength, assuming they've trained it. Those that have spent some time working on explosive strength have that capacity, have that tool in their locker to create that explosive intention and breakaway. So another reason why I'm a huge fan of this type of training is because what we've seen is not only can you produce more power, but you can express that force and create powerful movements in a split second. So when we research that's looked at weaker and stronger individuals has shown that at any given time, the stronger individuals can produce more force, can produce more power. That's really important when we are looking not only in terms of sports performance, but also injury reduction, because most people become injured in that split second when they've had to absorb or produce force very quickly, not when they've had all the time in the world to do it. So that's another reason why I like it. Stronger, more powerful individuals can create, absorb, and produce force, higher levels of force in split seconds. Factors that we know have a positive impact on development of explosive strength include improvements in cross-sectional area. We talked about it in the last module. 10-ounce steak instead of a 6-ounce. Also increase neural activation, taking your standard dial-up broadband and transforming it into a super fast fiber optic broadband. Now, to train explosive strength, there are two main training methodologies that we can look at. We can use very light loads, using loads that are anywhere sort of light to moderate, 20 to 60% of repetition maximum, and you're trying to move that as quickly as possible. So it's going to look fast and dynamic. Or you can use very heavy loads, above 80%, probably resemble more along the lines of the relative strength training you're doing. You won't be able to move the loads quickly, but the maximal intent to shift that external force will be there. So it's that neural drive that we're really moving. So at the one end with the light movements, we've actually got fast movements. And then at the other end, we've got slow movements, but lots of neural drive. The type of training that we're talking about here essentially trains probably the slower end of the stretch shortening cycle type movements. But essentially we're training the same quality, but coming at it from a different part of the force velocity curve. Regardless of the load, and I think we've touched upon this earlier in the module, as well as in previous modules, regardless of the load, the movement needs to be explosive. It's a little bit of an obvious statement, but if we want to develop explosive strength, we've got to do it with maximum intent. Your clients can't just go through the motions. They can't just tick over. They have to come in, switch on, and try and shift that load, whether it's at the lighter end of the spectrum or at the heaviest end of the spectrum, they need to shift it as quickly as they can. Neural intent is critical. The integration of the methods that you decide to use, whether you go heavy or whether you go moderate, will depend largely on the requirements of the individual that you've got. As I said before, each method will work a different portion of the force velocity curve. So let's look at some of the explosive strength cornerstones. The reason we want to train explosive strength is to develop and maintain the ability to produce force quickly. As we said before, the ability to produce force quickly is important for athletic events, but it's also important to reduce the potential for injuries. And if your client is coming back from an injury, it's really important to make sure that they're exposed to some of those higher speeds of movement and greater loads to make sure that they are robust and ready to go back into training. It's also important to be able to play Sunday league with your mates or play out in the park with your kids. So what are we looking at? If we are using the lighter loads, so if we're using moderate to light loads, you're going to be able to use more repetitions, anywhere between 6 to 10 repetitions. Once you go heavy, again, the load dictates that you aren't going to be able to produce many repetitions. So you're probably coming right down the bottom end of the scale, working on singles anywhere up to 5. If it's heavy, you're not going to want to do many repetitions. Again, understanding what we do about the interrelationship between the microvariables that we're manipulating. When we're using lighter loads, anywhere between sort of 20 to 60%, you can tend to have slightly shorter recovery periods. Okay? Once we're going heavy, same sort of rules apply as to when we're developing maximum and relative strength. You're going to want extended periods, anywhere sort of between 2 to 5 minutes. But clearly you have to be pragmatic about this. Having your client come and train with you and sit around for 5 minutes isn't always going to be practical. So although we understand the rules, sometimes we need to know how to break them or how to bring about other activities they can do during the recovery period that keeps the session ticking along. The speed of movement, very simply, it's explosive. So if you've got that lighter load on, yes, you're going to control it in the eccentric phase, but you are trying to move that load as quickly as you can. Maximal intent. If it's a heavy load, it may come up at the speed of 1,000 snails. So outwardly, it might look like a slow lift, but everything in your body is trying to move that as quickly as you can. So whilst we're discussing explosive strength, we probably should touch on reactive strength or stretch shortening cycle training. So reactive strength really refers to the ability to, again, effectively use the stretch shortening cycle. The ability to absorb force, absorb impact, eccentric loading, and then explode rapidly from that impact with high levels of force, so a concentric action. So this type of training, as we said, challenges probably more the fast, stretch, short, and cycle movements. Anywhere sort of below 0.25 milliseconds. It's rapid. It is really quick. And although you might think that your clients never really visit that end of the spectrum and won't need it as part of their training, actually, it's worth understanding that almost all actions require an element of reactive strength. There's a continuum, absolutely, but activities like running, walking, hopping, jumping, throwing, hitting, climbing, kicking, will all have elements of a stretch shortening cycle in them. So your efficient movement is achieved when your client is able to use those elastic properties, okay, within the tendons and the muscles to store and, more importantly, reuse elastic energy. And one way to think of it is to take a rubber band, you know, take it from a stretch position, pull it back, immediately release it, and it will snap back into shape and it will fly away. That is because of the elastic properties that it has. So we want to make sure that you can stretch and release as quickly as possible so you can create as much force as possible. In order to do that, we need to understand the cornerstones and the training variables that we can apply for reactive strength. In terms of repetitions, quite a broad range, depending on the type of activity you're doing. Anywhere from 5 up to about 20 repetitions. But here's the thing, the load is really light. You're either talking about body weight or less than 10% of your repetition maximum. So you're not really shifting big weights. Recovery time can be anywhere from 30 seconds, again, up to about 600 seconds. So it can be quite short, depending if you've done maybe 2 or 3 repetitions. Maybe you do 5 pogo jumps. You might only need 30 to 60 seconds to recover before you go again. Whereas if you do 30 meter bounds, you're probably gonna want longer time to recover. The speed of movement, reactive, it's explosive. You are trying to put maximum intent into every single repetition. Again, your clients can't just go through the motions. Probably a good point now to take some time to review the program design matrix that's in your manual. You know, you can use this as a simple reference point to give you the structure so that you can start to figure out the key training variables that you can manipulate for each of the strength qualities that we've discussed in these modules. And there are also a couple of other strength qualities that you can look at in part of that matrix as well. So let's take some time to review what we've covered in this module. Explosive strength is the maximum amount of force that can be produced in a short amount of time as possible, and it's reliant on the ability of the neuromuscular system to generate steep increases in force within a split second. The type of training typically challenges what we call the stretch shortening cycle movements, okay? So anything above 0.25 milliseconds. Reactive strength, on the other hand, is still the ability to produce very high force, rapid movements, but we really are now drilling down into that short stretch, shortening cycle timeframes of less than 0.25 milliseconds. We're looking to switch from an eccentric impact, have minimal contact time, less than 0.25 milliseconds, and maximal concentric contraction. With both training methodologies, regardless of the load, whether you're going heavy or whether you are going light, the movement speed needs to be explosive. There needs to be maximal intent. Your clients can't just go through the motions. What are your thoughts?
You've been listening to the Professional Fitness Coaching Academy Insight Series, Advanced Module 3.4, Explosive Strength. If you have any questions about what was covered, please get in touch via email, info@pfca.com, or fill in the contact form on our website, www.thepfca.com. Up next is Advanced Module 4, Recovery and Regeneration, Part 2.